to Sinister Six to Early Edition. Merry Christmas. Next.
Make sure you tune into For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch each Sunday during the football season from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The boys from For Fantasy's Sake will be bringing the fire fantasy football takes, updating you on the week's rankings and injuries, and getting you ready for your fantasy football matchups each and every week. The show is interactive, so be sure to send your questions. You can find them at For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, at FFSQC on Twitter, or you can send them an email at forfantasysakeqc@gmail.com.
Coming up on this pod, it is the Week 16 Sinister Six. We were off last week because we were sick. We posted our stuff on social media. We had a decent week. Nick took a week off. He is back. We are ready to roll. Early week, but technically not. We'll explain that in a moment. Real quick, this weekend, I believe, will be our last live fantasy For Fantasy Sake show. If not, if we're not planning on doing anything Saturday morning, I'm going to try to get, you know, a fire lit under my ass to do something Saturday in the morning. Maybe I can wake Nick up. I don't know. I doubt it, but we'll see. Or at least maybe I can see if DJ or Chris or somebody, because I feel like, you know, Christmas Eve, little BSing with the boys. Why not? Regardless, outside of that, maybe if things are really weird, we might do a Saturday night quick thing live. I don't know. I doubt it. We'll see. Again, it's all up in the air. Regardless, Monday the 26th, I'll be recording probably before any Monday night stuff because I'll be off that day. And then we're going to peek in, Danny and I, for our Christmas holiday tournament for the basketball team we cover, Moline. And we've already got a podcast idea planned out. We've got our NBA tiers list that we're going to do. I've got to write it still, but that's going to be something we record while we're in Pekin. I'm sure we'll probably have some other ideas. So that's just some housekeeping stuff for the next few weeks for some holiday stuff. We are about to ride. Buckle up. We are living on the edge of 500, which I consider good. Nick is back. We're going to both go 1,000-0 this week and make a bunch of fake money. Let's get it. All right, enough bullshit. Let's get real, son. Nick's got some Gatorade, a squirt bottle. I've got acid reflex like a mug. We are ready to ride. So, I felt like this was normal, but I guess I caught myself in realizing that, you know, normally we do Wednesday recording, at least that at the beginning of the year when life was normal, we did Wednesday recording for games on Saturday and Sunday, normally it's just Sunday. So the timing, you know, they move the games up a day, we move the thing back a day. So it's not too early, right? You know, too
early bird gets the worm, my friend.
Exactly. So the thing I'm going to be interested in the most is how much these lines move over the next 4 days, 3 days, or whatever the fuck. That's the thing that's going to pique my interest the most. But hey, let's get it rolling. Nick is back, as always, 7-5 on the year, the 2 weeks we've done this. Last week, I think I asked you if you wanted to do something Thursday. But, dude, I was so gone, so dead. You were also busy, so thank God you weren't. Because if you would have been, like, not busy, I would have felt obligated, and it would have been terrible. We would have both just been miserable.
Would not want that. So I'm glad you took a week to refresh, and we're good to go now.
Yeah, I got sick Thanksgiving weekend, and now this week. And it's always this week, or last week of the, like, it was always that week that I get sick every year because it's the week of the Genesis shootout. Regardless, we are ready to ride. So 4-3-2-1 week after last week. For those that interacted with our picks on the social medias, I'm pretty proud of the process. I thought we did well. The Bears Eagles total, oddly enough, we almost got I don't think anyone was possibly going to score late, but what? At 25-20, we almost got a bullshit backdoor cover on that, right? That would have been cool. But, I mean, that never deserved it. But who also would have thought in that game that the under hit? So I would play that 1,000 times out of 1,000. Steelers +3. You want to know the funny part about that one?
Yeah.
I probably deserve to lose like one of the over-unders because when I put that down, I forgot Kenny Pickett was hurt.
Oh.
And then like a day later, I was like, shit. But then I was like, screw it. The Panthers, no. And the Steelers won outright. So that gave it to me. Titans +3. Push. Oh, well. Really would have loved for the Titans to miss the extra point there because I wanted the Chargers to win. But because the Titans made it, we got to see our first Justin Herbert. They gave him too much time moment when he only had like 50 seconds and no timeouts. So I had fun. And then the best part about that was as they made that field goal, I don't know if you were watching Red Zone Sunday, but literally as they made that field goal was when the Raiders play happened. Like literally at the same time.
Talk about a wild ending there.
Yeah, very much. I don't know if you can turn your mic up at all a little bit, or maybe I should just turn my headphones up a little bit.
Yeah, I can.
Oh, that's a little better.
I might have been just talking off mic. How about that?
No, you're good. You were with me. It's just a little quiet. And I'm also loud because I'm a dork. Anywho, game total, Bengals, Bucks, whatever. That, I mean, it shouldn't have hit, but it did. The Bengals were going for it on fourth down, and the Bucks jumped off sides. If the Bucks don't jump off sides, that game never goes over. But granted, both teams scored another touchdown late, so I'm not too mad about that. And then Dolphins and the Falcons both plus the points. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So we are ready to ride. It is an interesting week, Nick, because it is winter weather advisory week in a week with a bunch of playoff important games. And the books have adjusted. There aren't too many lofty spreads to take advantage of, but there are some. There are some over-under numbers that are ridiculous. Are you ready to weather this storm? Get it? In these frigid temperatures.
Let's get it done.
Let's get it. All right. You want to start? You want to kick us off?
Why not? Here's the last couple of weeks. This is a strategy that would have been very profitable for people. Kansas City's a good team. They win games, but they're terrible at covering right now, especially if it's more than like 2.5 points. I mean, the Texans and the Broncos, I still don't understand how the Chiefs let the Broncos get back into that game 2 weeks ago. You blow like a 27-0 lead.
They got careless.
Yeah, but didn't cover the spread, did not cover against the Texans. And you're getting a 1.5 touchdowns on Seattle. And Seattle,
it's more than that, right? Isn't it a 9.5?
Or did I say 1.5 touchdowns?
Yeah, I guess that's fair. That's the same thing. That's
basically what I'm shooting for, yeah.
I felt that's what you meant. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You mean like 6.5, 7.5?
1 touchdown and a field goal.
Okay. Yeah, we'll call it that. That's fair. 9.5.
But Seattle, they're a team that they're right on the fringe right now of making the playoffs. So they're going to be trying to put their best effort out there against a team that's not good at winning by double digits right now. And so I like Seattle. I like Seattle in this one for those reasons. But give me Seattle +9.5 against Kansas City.
Yeah, Chiefs are terrible at blowing teams out. You think maybe they might be due. This could be a nice alternate spread game if you put together some parlay stuff where you do some like Tyler Lockett, Geno Smith over, or Tyler Lockett. Oh, he is?
Think I heard that he's hurt.
Then you could do some Metcalf, because here's the thing. Metcalf is going to dunk on a Chiefs DB at least once or twice because that's what they give. That's what happens. The Seahawks are going to hopefully run the ball well because I have Kenneth Walker in round two of my fantasy playoffs, and I might win the title. By the way, Nick, I've told you about my fantasy bad luck. Remember I said I didn't have like a fantasy skill player score a touchdown for like a month? Well, okay. I had George Kittle and Jalen Waddle all just do the business for me this weekend, and Josh Allen go supernova. So we're back in business, baby.
I had Waddle on the bench this week, and I felt bad. after Saturday night, but Zay Jones, he saved me.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a lot of possible points on the board because I got Kamara against the Browns, who can't stop the run, got Saquon and Kenneth Walker against a bad Chiefs defense, you know, Jalen Waddle against the bad Packers. Can George Kittle stay hot? You know, all these things. So, yeah, your boy's back. I'm feeling good about it again. Anywho, no, I think this is the right play. I don't have it, but you're probably on the right side of this. There's a path for the Seahawks. So here's the thing. I felt like if the right side probably would have been Seahawks plus the points on Thursday last week, though I threw a little parlay together for my roommate that had a Seahawks alternate line of like +8.5. Cause it was like, it's their kitchen sink game. They're not going to get blown out. That part covered. The only thing that didn't hit on a five leg was Kenneth Walker touchdown. So that was kind of a bummer. But, yeah, I think the Seahawks, again, they need to start stealing games. You keep losing games, you're basically screwed. Here's the thing. Detroit owns these tiebreakers over all of these NFC teams, but not Seattle. If you remember, Seattle early in the year played that crazy 49-45 game or something like that against them and won. So that's a huge thing for them. They got them, the Jets, and the Rams. That this is a big one. If you can, if the Seahawks somehow can steal this game, obviously, A, it would screw up the, it would open up the Bengals to be the one seed in the AFC, because if they beat the Bills and win out, they'll be the one seed. That's one thing. Then if, obviously, that's just throwing the clusterfuck into the AFC playoffs in general. But then obviously, if the Seahawks can win this game, they're right back in it in the NFC wildcard picture. So I expect them to try to throw everything they can trying to win it, even though they are flailing. But, you know, if are the Chiefs due for a blowout game? I don't know. They never blow these games out. Doesn't this feel like Geno's back, they're up 14-0, and then here come the Chiefs. Then all of a sudden it's 21-17 in like 3 minutes.
Yeah, the Chiefs are good enough. They should cover every single week. So there's always that possibility that this is the week it happens, but I'm riding momentum of taking their opponent's points.
Yeah, it's not the bad play here. I would do it too, but I'm not. I'm not doing it, but I would. All right. I will also take a gaudy line to start. This is a principle. It's going to be -490 degrees game. Therefore, it will be close. Bears +8.5 at home against the Buffalo Bills. Bills are also not rolling, though the Bills probably played their best game in general since the Chiefs game on Saturday against Miami in what was a really good game. And Josh Allen played well, but their offensive line is still banged up a bit. Defensively, are they going to be able to build? The Bears got shut down. The Bears are going to possibly, I know, you know, the weapons continue to go out there without Mooney for the year. Claypool didn't play Sunday, but they can still move the ball. The Bills struggle against the run. I expect the Bears to run the shit out of the ball on Sunday. And again, what will be probably Saturday afternoon at Soldier Field is probably going to be -5,000 degrees. So I absolutely expect this game to be a fast-paced game. The Bears are going to score points, and they're going to keep it close. Here's the one thing that I'm worried about, but I'm not too worried about it. The Bears are not going to have a defensive game where they play that well again. Two things, though. The weather is going to even that out. Plus, I think the Bears offense is going to have a better game against the Eagles than they did or against the Bills, and obviously they did against the Eagles. So all of that being said, Bears +8.5, two future top six quarterbacks in the league going at it. Can't wait. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great game. I'm excited for it. Who would have thought the Bears are going to lose 38-30, LOL. That'd be funny. 35-27, and I'm going to love it. Because the game will be fun. And Josh Allen will do like two or three super cool things. And then he'll get to the sideline and all the smoke will be flying off his body because it's, again, -900 degrees. And Justin Fields will do like a 70-yard touchdown where he runs sideline to sideline the entire way down the field. It'll be fun. be two mutants playing QB. Go ahead, Nick.
Ditto. I've got them on my list as well. So pair us up, baby.
It's like I said, it's a principal play, right? The weather, that it's automatic. You got to try to take a gaudy line in the weather because it could snow too. That's another thing. And the fact that the Bears are a bad record team, but they're too good to give 8.5 points to. When was the last, other than the game Fields didn't play against the Jets, when was the last time they've gotten housed? You know what I mean? Where they didn't cover a gaudy spread like this.
Yeah, they've been playing everybody within a touchdown, essentially. You know, you've had a few field goal games in there, and you get 8.5. And actually, I'm gonna pull it up right now while you go on to your next thought. But yeah, I can't think of off the top of my head either the last time the Bears lost by more than a touchdown. I guess the Packers-Bears game a few weeks ago that bailed out your over.
yeah, that one. But that was
that was a bad beat. There was no reason the Packers should have won by two scores in that one.
No reason the Packers should have won in general. I remember what I said the next week. I said the Bears should win that game 37-17. Every time they got the ball in the red zone, they put the offense in reverse.
Yeah.
They were like, we're going to tank the shit out of this game. What the fuck are you talking about?
He's there. Bears Jets. You said that. I think that was the Fields injury game.
Yeah, that was the game Fields didn't play.
So basically, you go back to the Cowboys game, 49-29, but they still put up 29 points. So, you know.
Yeah. And the Cowboys had like a defensive touchdown. Yeah. So ever since the offense figured it out, which was the Patriots game, they haven't played in a close game once. And they had a weird bad beat or Fields got hurt. Yeah. All of those things. Otherwise, they play in close games. And
the Bills aren't really blowing teams out right now either.
No. So, again, you could also be worried like, oh, variance, they're going to blow a team out. But, like, yeah, they haven't done it in 3 months. The last team they blew out was the Steelers in October. You know, the plus 8.5 is just so many points. The Bears are a good team in a bad team's record. With a bad roster. This is what happens when you put a bad roster with a couple good players and a top 7 quarterback. Guess what? Yeah. Oh, Justin Fields is in the top. Yeah. Yeah, he is, guys. Weird how that works. Watch the sport. I was going to say every time the Bears got inside the 20-yard line against the Packers, pulls radio down to Eberflus. He's like over breaker 1-9er. You know Jalen Carter is in this draft, right? And he was like, yeah, shit. We gotta start throwing passes out of the back of the end zone. Justin, breaker 1-9er. There's a potential Hall of Fame player and we can take in the top 2 of this draft. We need you to stop fucking moving the ball. Got it, coach. Done dusted, baby.
Boom.
I just wanted to throw that out there. All right, moving on. That's
what the Packer game felt like, honestly.
That's what it literally was. They'd hit huge shots, they'd move the ball, and then stop. It's like, come on, man. Okay. I got an under for you. Boy under here. Not boy wonder. Boy under.
Hit me.
We mentioned off the air, there's a certain quarterback in the AFC South that might not play on Sunday. We're going to mention another team in the AFC South whose quarterback is beautiful with long blonde hair. And you want to know what he's doing, Nick? He's running this team down. They're running him down. They're running, and his hair's flowing just in the back. He looks like Sonny from Remember the Titans. We're not going to talk about them yet. We're going to talk about the team that they're running down. And Malik Willis is starting a quarterback potentially on Saturday. Please, God, please start. This frisky Texans team is coming to town. I'm not predicting if they're going to win or not, but I damn sure know that neither team's going to score a bunch of points. Under 37.5, Titans-Texans. The only way I feel like this gets the over is if they just feed Derrick Henry the ball 48 times and they win like 31-10.
I think they do, but I don't think it'll be enough. You want to talk about a little deja vu?
Yeah.
October 30th, Ryan Tannehill was out. Tennessee Titans win in Houston, 17-10.
And Willis threw like 5 times.
6 for 10, 55 yards and a pick. Derrick Henry, 32 carries, 219 yards, 2 touchdowns. And they scored 27 total points in that game. The weather, it won't be in a dome. This will be Tennessee winter.
Which is going to be bad this weekend.
Yeah, I like the play too. It's not on my list, but I kind of wish it was.
Yeah, I just had to. When you, especially when we're talking that Tannehill probably won't play. There's a few flashes of Malik Willis that I'm like actually interested in. Like he does a couple things and I'm like, oh, do it again, please. One more time. I like, can you run that play again? I want them like tell the defense to run the same play. Like it's like practice, right? It's like run it back. Like I want to see him do that again. Hopefully maybe we get one or two plays, but not too many. Also Titans defensive line, please stop sucking. I'm going to need you guys to not allow points this week. Thank you.
I got a buddy who had Tennessee money line was the only leg in his 6-leg parlay that didn't cash. So he was very disappointed about that.
That'd be something. Or let's run it back. Texans. Let's have a talk. Texans. Look into the camera, Texans. You're the Texans. I'm speaking to you. You've played 2 straight games where you have, you know, really fought hard. We commend you. Either score no points, because there's no way the Titans score 38, right? There's no way.
Yeah, no.
Either score no points or win. If you're going to somehow ruin this pick for me, just win. So my man with the long hair can run him down. We're running him down. Because, Nick, who would be more fun in the playoffs, the Titans or the goddamn Jags?
The Jags are playing some fun-ass football right now.
Yeah, they are. We're going to get to them in a little bit. I don't know if you're going to get to them next, but we'll get to them in a little bit. Anywho, Titans, Texans, under 37.5. I feel like if that doesn't hit, something ridiculously dumb happened, or it turned into somehow the most entertaining game on Red Zone on Saturday, which would be hilarious, and it will make me be drunk before I go to my girlfriend's house Saturday, because that will be so funny. If Davis Mills and Malik Willis are just trading haymakers on Christmas Eve, I will be pissing myself. Anywho, next. Go ahead.
One of the hottest teams, not only in the NFC, but the NFL. Had a scare this week. I had their money line. They were the underdog. They eked out a late win over the Jets.
They ended up being dogs?
They were. By, I think, 1.5 points. Their money line was still minus, but it was like minus 105 versus minus 120 or something like that.
I thought it was like a pick 'em. That's why I tried to stay away. Because them going outdoors, lots of variables. And,
I mean, Jets defense is seriously legit. If they had an offense that was any kind of consistent, and you know, they've got the playmakers there, and I think losing Breece Hall has just like killed that offense and having the ability to run the ball on any kind of consistent basis.
Yeah, they've been able to throw the ball well with White, and Wilson makes a few plays, but the problem with Wilson, and I said this last night, is he doesn't do the simple enough. He can hit some stupid play where he rolls out or rolls left and just chucks in a prayer, but he can't hit a slant on 3rd and 5. He can't check it down on 3rd and 8 to hope a guy can go get yards. Can't stay ahead of the sticks. That's the problem with Zach Wilson. You know, Mike White gives him a little bit more. He gives them enough to make them competent because they got dudes at receiver. Garrett Wilson, Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, dudes. But yeah, Lions, good win for them. Good win for them. Go ahead, sorry.
But yeah, with all that in mind, against the Panthers, who are kind of still sneak, they're kind of hanging around. That NFC South is such a pathetic wasteland of wasting a playoff spot in the NFC that somebody has to win it. Panthers aren't out of it yet.
No.
And I'm kind of rooting for them to win that division with an interim head coach, 3 quarterbacks. You shipped off Baker already. You got rid of McCaffrey. You're rebuilding. And then, oh, hey, here's a playoff spot for you. I'm kind of rooting for that, but not this week because I'm taking Detroit -2.5 to get going again. Their offense struggled this week, but I expected that because the Jets pretty much stymie almost every offense they play lately.
Their defense is awesome.
It's another reason why they've got the Jags this week. The Jets do, right?
Yep.
I rode Zay Jones into my fantasy semifinal this week because I was one spot short because of injuries. So I'm like, all right, Zay Jones has been good. He's somehow still on the waiver wire. I picked him up this week, got me like 30 points, helped me move on to the semifinal this week. But I've already put him on the bench. I do not trust him against that Jets defense. Mm-hmm. I don't trust anybody against that Jets defense. Stephon Diggs was even quiet in two games against the Jets, if I remember.
It's going to be an interesting game, that's for sure.
But as far as the Lions go, I like them against the Panthers, even on the road, -2.5. Need a win to keep pace with just staying alive in the playoff hunt. And if you're going to win, I see them winning by at least a field goal. I don't see them. I could see them losing outright because, you know, this is Detroit. And if you ever rely on them to do anything good, they're going to break your heart.
And are they due? Like, are they due to have a dumb one?
You would think so.
And the Panthers, obviously, I mean, it's when was the last time a team with only 5 wins on Christmas weekend was actually playing a meaningful game?
No kidding.
Ever? Has that ever happened? They're still alive, and they need this win. If they win this week, then next Thursday would put next, not Thursday, fuck, you got me screwed up there. Next Sunday on New Year's Day when they play Tampa, no matter what happens in the Tampa-Arizona game, if Carolina beat Detroit, then the Carolina-Tampa Bay game is for first place. Like, Carolina could win. They'd both be then either 6-whatever or 7-whatever, and Carolina would be in first place because they would have the sweep. So the Panthers here would be playing for everything. So it's probably kind of a kitchen sink game to a degree. Detroit, though, is obviously still playing for everything. They control their own destiny, and because of that weird tie with Washington and New York, they got to try to finish. They can't rely on just tying with Washington. They got to have more wins than them. And they're just playing so well. I think this is the right side. I'm not on it, but the fact that you only have to lay less than a field goal is pretty good. I looked at it initially. I just didn't want to chance it because I'm still afraid to bet Detroit. Though, granted, the one time I did, a couple weeks ago, I remember telling you when I bet them against the Jags, I feel like that's still my sharpest play of the year. I probably won't touch that. That was the week everything says bet the Jags, you idiot. Haha, be a nerd. And the Lions rolled them. And I was lucky to be on the right side of that one. So
I'm riding the Lions till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right? That's probably the right play. If it got to 3 or more, probably not, but under 3, not bad. Not bad.
This is 2022. We're living in a world where the Lions are they're a favorite on the road. What is this?
Yeah, and we're not scoffing at it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we're not like, oh my God, take the home team and the points. Now, maybe if they were playing in, like, you know, if they were playing in, name your average team in the league, just an average team. If they were playing in
the Browns,
Cleveland, yeah, maybe, probably the way, because I think Deshaun's starting to play better. People don't want to say that, though. Anywho, God, I should have fucking laid the Browns points this week. I should have kept riding them, man, even though they screwed me. I was 1-1. I should have just stayed on it because I wanted to. Whatever. I'm a dope. Anywho, moving on. I'm going to just get this one out of the way because it's sad. Broncos, Rams under 36.5.
Riding those unders. When we did this show last, the Broncos unders were, you know, they were crushing it.
It was the Chiefs game.
Yeah, before that, until that Chiefs game.
Yeah, they were killing
it. Broncos games was a rock solid bet.
We have to be. The Chiefs
game broke that, and I don't remember. Did they hit it last week?
They had to. It was like 24-19.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like they've gone over 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, but that, I mean, listen, man. Ride the wave. Ride it till the wheels fall. There's no reason. You could do any fancy nerd metric in the world. There's nothing that's going to get you to a potential 20-17 score in this game with these two putrid offenses. It's the two worst offenses in the league.
I know somebody I went to high school with went to that Broncos game this past weekend, and they got tickets for $15 in Denver.
Sucks.
Could that you imagine before the season buying tickets for Arizona at Denver, and then one, the teams just sucked major ass this year.
For Brett Rippin and Tracy Torley.
Yeah. And those are your quarterbacks. Because I guess, yeah, Colt McCoy went out, right? He got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, geez, what an awful, awful game to spend money on. But hey, for $15, I would go watch the absolute worst NFL teams ever play.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd ever want to go to an NFL game.
I wouldn't sit in the cold to do it, but I would consider
I'd go to a game in Miami because those are our boys and I love them. Then the weather, you don't have to worry about it. Worst case, it rains or you're scorching hot. But if you get high enough seats, you're going to be under the thing. You're just going to be sweating a lot. So you probably can avoid some sunburn. Regardless, that's not the worst. Not the greatest viewing experience. The NFL was made to watch at home. I'd love going to basketball games though, like college and NBA games. This calendar year, I went to four, I think, or three. I at least went to three games. I went to Illinois Purdue, and then I went to two Bucks playoff games, which were awesome. The Illinois-Purdue game on Martin Luther King Day was nuts, too, because that game went into double OT, and it was great. But the two Bucks playoff games, too, were just batshit. Like, and so I went and saw them play the Bulls and then the Celtics round two playoff game. I mean, that was wild.
So are you a Milwaukee fan also then?
No. I kind of just like everything in the NBA. Honestly, if there's a team right now that I actually like the most, it's usually I would normally say Philly because they've got my favorite player in Joel Embiid, but right now it might be Boston just because they got the most guys I like on their roster. I am a Magic fan. That is like that team that I actually claim and emotionally invested in. And I'm emotionally invested in them again because they've got some dudes. Just want to throw that out there. Paolo Banchero, Franz Wagner, I love you. If you're watching, just want you to know. 2026 Eastern Conference Champions, Orlando Magic. It's coming, man. It's coming. But yeah, when it comes to the NBA, normally I just kind of love the sport. So
I can do that. I'm not, I'm just kind of a, I've only gotten into the NBA here the last couple of years. Actually, the bubble during COVID, I watched more NBA than I had in like the previous 15 years. And I've just kind of, you know, dabbled and watched more of it since.
It's a blast, man. It's better.
There was one year that I watched NBA. It was like 2005 because my teacher was Nick Collison's aunt. So she would post, it was always supersonic stuff all over her classroom.
Oh, God.
And all that stuff. So I got into the NBA that year that way. I bought NBA 2K5.
Yeah, you know, buddy.
Having fun there. So between 2005 and 2020, I probably watched like less than 2 hours of NBA basketball combined. Now I take that back. Nick Nurse went to my high school. So when they were in the world, you know, when they were in the championship, I watched a little bit of that.
Yeah, he's from Northwest Iowa, right?
Yep, he's from Carroll, Iowa, my hometown.
And he coached
I like to say he's the second coolest Nick to come out of my high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And are you the, are you, oh, so I was going to say, are you the third?
Yeah, number one, baby.
Okay. I was, but no, man, I'm deep in it. I was an idiot in high school. Didn't pay attention to the league much. And in college, I kind of started to more and more, and then I started to more and more. And now I'm like the last like 3-4 years. So it's like 2017, 2018 is when I really started to finally dive deep into the NBA more and more. I've always been a college basketball guy. College basketball is my favorite sport to actually pay attention to and watch because on a nightly basis, the games are just so much more intense and whatnot. And I still love the NBA. But yeah, we've got League Pass. I stay up late at night to watch tape and like condensed games. of NBA games throughout the weeks. And yeah, man, it's we're deep over here in hoops. So it's hoops and football, man, is what it is.
Oh yeah.
In the Toronto Maple Leafs, when, you know, I actually care about them enough, which I normally do, but it's hard for me to actually watch all their games. I don't really get to watch many until it gets nut cutting time. All right. That was a nice diversion. I am three down. You are three down. Mr. Nick?
Yes.
Lead the way. Second half.
All right. To lead off my second half pick, we've kind of touched on it a little bit. Talking about...
They're running them down.
Running them down, baby.
They're running them down. Hair's flowing. Here comes Doug Peterson with the nice headset. Here comes another guy on the Jags. It doesn't matter who, as long as it's not a rookie. And they're going to ask him just real quick. They're catching him. Hey, you're so fast and happy. What's the difference between last year? And they slap the mic and they look in the camera and say, coaching. Coaching's the difference.
Give me Jacksonville. -1.5.
You're going to lay him?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I'm on this game too.
Do I like it? No. Do I necessarily want to? No, but I am. And it's technically, based on the odds, it's the, you know, it's got better paying odds than if you would take Jets +1.5. So that's a little worrisome, but the Jags, they're in, I think they're in a bit, if I remember right, I don't have the records in front of me. Let me pull that up here before I talk. Yes, they are in a bigger need of a win because they're still a game behind.
Yes.
But they're not necessarily playing.
They're not playing for the wild card spot. Two teams that are alive as hell, and they're close to each other. Technically, I guess if the Jags win this game, they'll pass the Jets. But they're playing for two different things. Jets are playing to get the seventh seed. The Jags are playing to host a fucking playoff game.
Yeah.
Let's go. Okay. I'm on this game as well. Let's actually talk about this one. Might be, honestly, let's break it down. Now that Jalen's not playing in the game on Saturday, this is kind of the game of the week. As we said, we didn't because we didn't have a show last week, but we would have said, who would have thought a game in week 14 between the Lions and week 15. I keep getting this screwed up. Who would have thought a game in week 15 between the Lions and the Jets would be game of the week with playoff implications? Let's fast forward because we didn't have a show last week. Who would have thought a Thursday night game in late December between the Jets and the goddamn Jags would have this much importance? It does, folks. I'm on this as well. So let's talk about this. We never really do the Thursday games normally, but because it's, you know, Christmas Eve and weird week, we're doing this early, a day earlier than normal, or 2 days earlier than normal, I guess, when you and I do it. We both got some juice on the Thursday night game. I'm going to go, and this is a zag of zags here, but I'm going over 37.5. I just feel the way the game's going to play out is going to lead to more points. And I think that this over is going to hit like barely. This is going to be like 21-17. 24-21 type of deal. You know what I'm saying? This isn't going to be some game played in the 30s. This over is going to hit, but barely. I think both teams' offenses are capable enough, even if Zach Wilson does play, to where they're going to be able to move the ball. But listen, the Jags are playing great. They're 4-2 in their last six. The letdown game that everyone expected them to, that they should have had, was that Lions game. Even since then, they blow the doors off the Titans. They come back in crazy fashion against Dallas. Trevor Lawrence is playing ridiculous. You could honestly say right now he's playing like, I guess you would probably have to, most people would throw Hurts at 5. He's at worst this right now, the 6th best quarterback in the league. If you're going to put Hurts at 5, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Herbert, in whatever order you want to put them, Hurts, and then Trevor Lawrence. And I would take Lawrence over Hurts on a normal thing, but I'm just giving Hurts his due because of this year. Trevor Lawrence is soon going to be one of those dudes. He already is one of those dudes. And the way he's been playing this year has been borderline Pro Bowl level stuff. It's going to transcend for years to come. This team is feisty, and they are fun, and they're playing meaningful football. this game is very intriguing and very exciting. The Jets need this. The Jags need this. If the Jags win this game, then it is on. Like, it's already on, but it's on like Donkey Kong. Because then they go to Houston, which I know they've been playing better, but the Jags actually feeling it. You would feel like they'll win. And then, you know, all the marbles in Tennessee for the last game of the year. Even if they lose, the fact that they're getting their feet wet in this moment is important. You know what I mean? Like, even if they get all the way to the Titans game and then screw it up, the fact that they're playing in meaningful games right now is so huge for the future. So I'm a huge fan of that. I love this team. I hope they win. And I love this Jets team too, honestly, even though we're Dolphins fans, we're not supposed to, but they've got so many guys that I like, and this defense is really good. So I expect this game to be really fun and really competitive. There will probably be some sloppy bits in the middle stages of the game. But eventually I think these two teams are going to turn it on. It's going to be good football on both ends. So the over, again, it's not going to be a resounding over. 21-17, 24-20. Something like that. But I think the over will hit. I like that you're going with the Jags. I don't have the balls to take them because I think this honestly is a toss-up. Even with Zach Wilson playing, like, I feel like they can do enough defensively to keep them close. You know, it's not like we haven't really seen the Jets get blown out this year. I don't think at all, outside of the first New England game when Wilson threw like five picks. So yeah. This game's going to be fun and exciting, man. Can't wait to be glued to my, you know, worst case scenario. If I don't have to go work Thursday night down in Bloomington, I'm going to be glued to my TV watching this game. And if I'm not, I'm going to have it somehow on my phone. I'm going to find out some way to watch it. This game's going to be so intriguing.
I know over the years, Thursday night football has had the reputation of just being like, this team has to have a primetime game this year, and these teams suck. Just put them on a Thursday night. So, like, when they make the schedule, yeah, there's no way anybody thought that this was going to be a relevant game to anything.
And it is.
It's just going to be, like, your 16th best Thursday night game of the year. But it should be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no. I think you're right. It's going to be in that 20-17 ballpark either side. I mean, Lions Jets last week was 20-17. I expect it to be in that same ballpark, and you're just hoping for one extra point. So
yeah,
I like that too.
Yeah,
and honestly, it's hard to say, but I almost feel like that Jags offense is playing better than the Lions right now. And the Lions offense, they've been pretty damn rock solid. But when they run up against a really good defense, like they did against the Patriots earlier this season, I feel like the Lions have. Like, those are their letdown offensive games. But the Jags, they just put up, what, 40 points on the Cowboys?
Yeah.
The Cowboys defense, I'm thinking they're one of the better defenses in the league, too.
Well, yeah, so, like, the variance is...
They can get that extra point.
Exactly. I was going to say this. The variance is the Lions going from indoors to cold weather outdoors. Now, I know the Jags going from sunny Jacksonville, Florida, Duval County, baby, to MetLife, like, that could be a huge difference, but I'm not looking at it that much. You know, they went to Tennessee 2 weeks ago. I know it's not super cold in Nashville, but probably wasn't light, you know, a great warm day, and they beat the brakes off the Titans. Like, I don't think this Jags team is immune to possibly, you know, we'll see. Maybe it could be a difference, but I'm not expecting it to be a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, when you look at cold weather teams, warm weather teams, and vice versa, things like that, you get, you know, Miami and Jacksonville and those kind of teams going to cold games. I think people put a lot more stock into that than they should. I don't have numbers in front of me by any means, and I've just got a couple anecdotes, but like Miami played a game that they could have won in Buffalo this last
season.
They beat the spread by 4.5 points.
Everyone thought everyone was like, oh, the weather's going to be, they're going to suck. The weather had no effect on them in the game at all. Yeah. Other than, you know, when the Bills fans were throwing snowballs at the Dolphins receivers on the goal line.
Yeah, no cap. And then I also look at the playoffs where Green Bay is like, oh, we're at Lambeau. This is going to be such a huge advantage. And then you get a California team that comes in and beats them to move on in the playoffs. Like, sure. You can find plenty of examples where Southern teams are playing like shit in the cold, but I don't buy it. These are grown ass men. They're going to come out and they're going to play just fine. I personally don't put a whole lot of stock in, you know, cold weather team versus a Southern team in these scenarios. But
yeah,
I think odds makers do take it into account because they know the public wants to throw money on a cold weather team when they're playing a hot weather team. And I don't have the numbers to back up that's actually the play.
That's a fair point. Here's what I usually always try to gauge in that: the makeup of your team. Like, here's an example. That Rams team that went to the Super Bowl with Goff, they went to Chicago. Remember that year Chicago got Khalil Mack? He won DPOY. They won 12 games. Double doink game. But that year, the Rams went to Chicago on Sunday night, early December, and got their ass kicked. Now it was 15-6. But they had the best offense in the league that year, and they couldn't move the ball for four quarters. It's because they were more of a finesse-style team, you know? Teams like
shadowing the Super Bowl
to a degree, because the Patriots really just own them up front and Belichick the pants McVay. But like in general, those are the types of teams that you're going to see struggle in the cold if they're more finesse, if they don't have a physical toughness to them. Those are the teams you're going to go see struggle in the cold. Like the Niners, like you said, last year they went to Green Bay and won. They're tough as shit. Of course they went to Green Bay and won. They're not afraid to come downhill and smack someone in the face. No kidding. They went to Green Bay and won that game. You know what I mean? So like, that's why that's what I try to take into effect. If I see a team and I know they're finesse and they're soft and they're going to a cold game and that cold team is good and physical, absolutely I'll back that cold weather team. You know what I mean? But if you're a team that actually has some nuts to you, I'm gonna favor your ability to go up there and be fine. I don't think the Jags are really on either side of that. I just think they're a team that's good, playing with nearly house money. And you know, so I think the game's gonna be fun and competitive. Anyway, moving on. So you obviously have the Jags. You said you got the Jags. What, -1.5?
Yes. And I'm fully prepared for that one to go down in flames, but I want to be on the fun side.
Fun. FUN. Nothing against the Jets, but let's go Jags, baby. Jags, Jags, Jags. All right, number 5 for you. Go ahead. Teed up.
Oh, let's see. I'm going to save that other one for last.
I'm terrified.
Of my 6 picks, this is probably my least favorite one, so I don't have a whole lot of confidence in it.
Is it because the game is boring?
No.
Okay.
No, I think it'll be interesting, but I was putting my picks together and I included this one. I almost left it off and wanted to find something else, but I'm like, you know what? We're going to leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have a ton to back up my reasoning.
Okay. You know, I'm going to try to help you.
Maybe a coin flip, if anything. But 49ers Commanders. I'm gonna tempt fate here. And I am going to take over 39.5.
Okay.
I think mainly because a total down in the 30s is just kind of tempting. Weather should not be a factor. 49ers offense. It's hard to believe, but I feel like they've gotten better without Garoppolo, and their defense is still rock solid. So Washington very easily could, you know, score one or two touchdowns and that's it and blow this whole thing up. But even if it's,
that's what I'd be worried about.
If it's 28-14, we're okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm pulling for. Again, I don't have a whole lot of science behind this one, but I'm taking over 39.5.
27-13 also gets you home.
We'll take it.
27-10 doesn't, but hey. Margins, brother. Yeah, you are tiptoeing on this one. But hey man, when if you're feeling froggy, leave motherfucker. Would that line is what, 7.5?
Yes, that sounds familiar. I think I saw that earlier. And I'd still be tempted to take the 49ers with the points because they're like the one team that's actually reliably still covering these days.
You trust them to.
But I think the other thing is why I took the total rather than these points. Brock Purdy has played so well, so early.
Yeah. Here, real quick, they're going to do some.
If you watched Brock Purdy in college, he could do that. But you know what would happen in the third game? He has some major, major letdowns.
So are you expecting this to be the game they're due when they fall back to earth?
Not necessarily, but I do like that Commanders defense that I could see that being the game where it does happen.
Yeah, I was going
to. They're still in the playoffs, too. Like they cannot afford to lose. So they are pulling out all the stops to shake that up. So that's what would tempt me out of taking the 49er points. But I think with all that said, you might get, you know, you get Heineke, you get Purdy. You can't rule out a pick six going either way.
That was the point. I was going to give you something to back up your over thing. If one of these two dorks throws a pick, short field, guess what? Drive that starts at the 20, someone's going to score, you would think. So that's where you're living here. You get a pick six. You get a defensive turn. You get a takeaway in a short field.
Heineke gets sacked and stripped at the 2-yard line and scooped up in the end zone.
Yeah, just like he did on Sunday with Kayvon. By the way, yeah. I can't believe my dumbass yesterday did not mention this. Kayvon Thibodeau Sunday was awesome. God. That was nearly – I'm mad he kind of slowed down in the second half because you remember when Khalil Mack on the Raiders, back when he was in Vegas or Oakland at the time? Acid reflux, I hate it. Remember when he had – I think this was his second year. He had that, like, multi-sack, multi-force fumble, multi-force fumble recovery. He had a pick six, like, game.
Like, literally
– all against – in one game against the Broncos. Yeah. Like, Kayvon was on his way to that, and then he kind of fell off a little bit in the second half. But he still played great, but yeah. If a defensive score happens in this game, the over probably hits. So that's what we're banking on to a degree. So the logic in it isn't bad. We talked ourselves into it, right?
Sometimes the logic is no logic.
Yeah, why not?
It's going to degenerate.
Plus, points. Cheer for points. Communism if you don't cheer for points. I'm over here and I got two unders. But listen, my unders are logical. My unders are logical. Who's watching Titans, Texans, and cheering for Davis Mills to move the football? You just don't because you're not stupid.
Trevor Lawrence?
You know what? I'm going to be doing that on Saturday, especially if the Jags win. I'm going to be like, let's go! We'll be in first place! Oh,
the last few years, I kind of have adopted the Titans as my like playoff team when Miami's not anywhere close to the playoffs.
Hey, I love the Titans too, and they're fun. And Vrabel's a dude, but guy, I'm a Trevor Lawrence guy, and so many people tried to drag him through the mud so much, and I just love seeing guys like that succeed. And I've been on Lawrence and Justin Fields together since they were like seniors in high school. So let L-E-L-E-S-T-L-E-T-S. Let's ride. Let's ride. Let's ride.
Let's cook. Yeah.
Let's cook, baby.
But yeah, I kind of, when Tannehill went there, I was rooting for him and them. And I've got Derrick Henry in a fantasy league like every single year. And I would love for him to match what he did against Houston earlier this season. I'd be very, very thankful.
Yeah, you would need it. Yeah, we could be opening presents Christmas Eve for those that still do that. And the Jags could be in first place. And I'll look at my girlfriend and I'll be like, I don't need any of this. I've got the gift. I have the gift good enough for everything. The Jags are in first place. Merry Christmas.
And the Jags just beat the Titans like a couple weeks ago, right?
Yeah, that's why if they win and then the
yeah, because we were both on the Titans that day, weren't we? Or at least I was, I think. I feel like
that I think I stayed away from it.
Okay. So the Jags do have the tiebreaker. That's what I'm getting at.
The Jags have the tiebreaker right now, yep, because they won the head-to-head. Again
the last week of the season.
They play the week 18.
And they are definitely two teams trending in opposite directions. It just feels like it's going to be the Jags at this point.
Titans have lost four in a row.
That's tough.
And they have, and none of them have been, I mean, the game Sunday was closer, but like they've all been kind of meh.
You know, I think it was about 4 weeks ago when we did our playoff predictions and I had the Titans as the 2 seed.
Tough.
Holy shit. That has backfired.
Yeah. I'm not going to
falling apart.
We've all made bad calls, dude. The thing about the playoff predictor episode is that it's supposed to be wrong because last year I did it and we were so off fucking base. Like it wasn't even close. It was fucking hilarious how wrong we were on it. You know what I mean? Like that's the point. That's just the point. I'll try to find it. Here we go. You had Chiefs. You had the Titans at the 3 seed. Chiefs, Bills, Titans, Ravens, Dolphins, Bengals, Chargers. You might actually go 7-for-7 in the AFC. I had the Pats because I'm a doofus.
The Pats are a fucking doofus. We haven't even touched on that.
Yeah. Philly, you actually imagine if the Cowboys wouldn't have blown the Jags game, you would be in hot money right now because you picked the Cowboys to be the 1 seed. Other than that, we both had the.
At that point, I really felt like the Cowboys were really good and the Eagles were just kind of, you know, they were just kind of there winning games against bad teams. But the last few weeks, I have definitely been converted to the Eagles are.
Well, yeah.
Yet. Now, Hurts being out or dinged up, that's not good.
Oh, he's gone.
There?
Yeah, I still got you.
Okay, you can hear me. Okay. Yeah. I think I bumped my cable. Let me change
that. No, you're
fine.
But, you're fine. Yeah, without that. But when we did that playoff one,
fantasy and I'm worried.
Yeah, that's tough. I wish this week I was
the Brinks truck with my free agent money to pick up Gardner Minshew. That's the position I'm in.
Yeah, I wish I would have gotten lucky and played somebody in fantasy this week that had Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. A little worried about it.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you still.
Okay. I don't know what happened to my camera, but as long as you can hear me, that's the main thing.
I thought for a second you couldn't hear me. So, little technical issue. We're good though. We're good. Now we lost it. Oh no, Nicholas!
All right,
you're back, Nicholas.
I clicked
he's alive.
Mic cam button and tried that.
He's alive. We missed him. Okay, so while you were gone, so many things happened. So we have both gotten 4 picks. No, I've gotten 4 picks. All right, I have 2 left. I have 2 spreads. Okay. Which one do I want to do last? Oh, well, let's do this one. Let's do Falcons-Ravens. I'm aiming for large spreads. We're going Falcons plus 7.5. Can Desmond Ridder be a profitable quarterback covering 2 weeks in a row?
Is
Please, Desmond?
Lamar out yet? Is he going to be out yet?
I don't know. He's probably going to play. But I'm going to take the 7.5 just in case he doesn't. That's a lot of points if he ain't playing, man.
Yeah, I like it a lot. And, I mean, that's one thing the Falcons have been pretty damn good about this year is covering spreads. I just feel like every week they're just, you know, if it's 3.5, they're losing by a field goal. I feel like that's what happened this week.
Yeah.
They lost by 3. Yeah, 7.5, Falcons. Again, if they win, they could be right back within a tie for the division lead.
They get the Bucs in week 18. So they just need
something if that's the division championship right there. Falcons with Bucks. Desmond Ridder.
Falcons, Bucks, both at 6-10, going for the.
If they tie,
oh my god! Probably the Bucks because they won.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. What, no. 6-10. Do I want a team to get to 7-10 and win, or would I rather them get in because they're 6-10-1? Give me the 6-10-1, damn it.
Yeah.
At this point, I want to make a mockery of that thing. I know a few years ago it was like 7-9 got somebody in. I might have been that division even. But man, if somehow 6-11 or, you know, 7-10, if that made it, that would be 7-10, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, the Bucks you think are going to win out. You'd think, right? Like they should.
But unless, you know, they just continue to throw the football when they should be running, and Tom Brady's committing 4 turnovers in a game.
In a quarter, you mean? Good Lord.
The group chat I was in was going pretty crazy, but I didn't actually watch any of the highlights. I need to go back and see what the heck he was doing.
Two of them were really dumb. The first, I don't remember what the first one was. They turned it over on downs on one. They tried running a fake punt, and everyone in the world knew it was coming except Gio Bernard, and they snapped it off his face, and the Bengals recovered it. And then Gio Bernard, they asked him about it in the locker room, and then a reporter basically said, Gio looked at him weird, like, why do you want to talk to me? And then a reporter said, what have you done all year for us to regard talking to you? And that was harsh. Yeah, that got all over Twitter. It was nasty. So you feel bad for Gio there. Got to be real. And then Brady went to turn and hand one to Fournette, and Fournette just kind of dropped it. And then the other one, Brady got hit as he threw the ball, like lunged in the air for an hour, and a linebacker, while on the ground, stuck his hand out before it hit the ground, and he trapped it. And it was a clean pick, but... Yeah, weird half. Weird game. Go Bengals. So, yeah, Falcons plus 7.5. Like I said, I have no logic to it other than that's a lot of points. I'm gonna get it now, especially if Lamar doesn't play. Even if he does play, I'll gladly take it because who have the Ravens blown out lately? They came down. They were in tight games late against Carolina and Denver, for God's sakes. Now, I know Lamar missed the Denver game, basically, but the Ravens are really weird. Good on them for winning. Now, granted, they just lost to the Browns, but like, good on them for winning the Broncos game and then winning that Steelers game because they could very easily be, what would it be, 7-7 and not in the dance? But they're going to make it, barring a collapse here when Lamar comes back. So, yeah, not much stock in the Ravens at the moment. But we're taking the dirtier birds plus the points.
I dig it. Love it.
Got to take it. Let's go Desmond Ridder. Bearcat alum. Bear down.
Boom. Bear down.
All right. Your last one.
Oh, let's see. Let's go to the southern tip of Florida for this last one. You get Aaron Rodgers in town.
Mm-hmm.
Packers still have some life in the playoffs.
They're not dead yet.
Dolphins probably feel like if they lose this week, they're going to be dead in the water.
Would be dead yet.
It would not be in a good position. Yeah. A couple of teams looking to get that, you know, get those offenses rolling. Defenses are a little suspect. I'm feeling points in this one, boy.
All of them? All the points.
I'm thinking 31-28, 27-24, 28-24. They all get us home. We just need to get over 48.5.
And listen, it's 12 o'clock noon Central Time. Or 10 o'clock in the West.
It's going to be too hot for those Wisconsin snowbirds.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be sweating too much. Listen, you're going to be like 3 glasses of eggnog deep, opening your day and night. You done open your presents. You're going to be feeling yourself. You're going to turn on some NFL football because you're having fun and it's Christmas. And guess what? We're not here to cheer for, you know, fourth down stops and turnovers and punts. We're here to cheer for Tyreek Hill taking a two-step slant 80 yards to the crib. We're here to cheer for Jalen Waddle burning two DBs and hitting his head on the goalposts. We're here to watch Christian Watson do cool stuff because he's fun. He's really cool.
To watch Raheem Mostert put up 100 yards in the first quarter.
And then they never give him the ball the rest of the game. God damn it, Mike.
I know, right?
They finally
started running the ball. And then what happened?
I don't know, man.
Yes, in this house, I'm the lone Dolphin fan. My wife and her entire family, they're all huge Packer fans. So we'll get to watch. Actually, this will be the first. Let's see. They played 4 years ago. We went to Lambeau for the game.
48.5.
Our plan this year was to go to this game if it didn't land on Christmas or my buddy's wedding that I was a best man in. And it just happened to land on Christmas. And when you have a two-year-old, you can't ditch Christmas.
Can't.
So we'll be watching from the couch. The little guy will be rooting along with us, and we'll be telling him to cover his ears as good things and bad things happen.
Yeah. And, mommy and daddy don't like each other for the next 3 hours. It's okay.
And then her parents are also coming to our house in the evening, so after this game. And I certainly, you know, this has nothing to do with my over 48.5 pick. This is purely heart and not putting my money where my mouth is. But I cannot afford the Packers to beat Miami and then be in a house full of Packer fans on Christmas Eve or Christmas night. It's just not a good recipe. Nothing good comes out of that. And I would much rather be on the other side of that seahorse or that seesaw. Seesaw, yeah.
A seahorse. Sea chickens.
Where'd that come from? But listen, man.
Honestly. If they do win, if we win, you know what you're going to be doing when y'all have a dinner? You're going to be smiling a little bit more. You're going to be sitting up a bit. Like, God, how y'all doing? You good? Like, you good, mama? You good?
They had all kind of given up hope on the season. I don't want them to be like, oh, well, now we're only a game and a half or two games back, so we can win out and make the playoffs. No, we need to rip their hearts out.
No, let's fucking crush them.
Crush them.
I cheer for the Bears too. I never get to rip the hearts out of the Packers. They're coming in all high and mighty. Their season's alive. Fuck them. Rip their goddamn throats out and fucking string them over and like drag them by them all over the Floridian sun and give them to like some Miami drug lord and have it and like use, let them be like the ornament for their, or the star for their Christmas tree in their nightclub, you know? That got weird, really weird. But I'm just saying, you're going to be at the dinner. You at the dinner table. Let's rewind. You know, you're going to be sitting like this. You're going to be looking like, hey, can I pass me the pork chops. You're going to be like, actually, you know what? I'm cool. I'll stay. I got it. I'll get up. You know, you're going to be feeling yourself.
Be like pouring cheese on all my shit.
On your chest.
Yeah. Give me the cheese.
You're going to be grating cheese all over yourself.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
And on the flip side, you know what's going to happen if Miami loses this game?
God, I'm going to be so pissed, man. Christmas
Aaron
will
Rodgers
suck.
And this Packers team are going to make the playoffs when they were under a 1% chance going into last night. They're somehow going to pull it out of their ass. It's going to come down to them in Detroit.
No, I don't think so.
Season somehow. No,
I don't think so.
I'm just saying. If they win tomorrow, I just have this feeling.
I get it.
They're going to go on this run to make the playoffs.
I think.
And then actually make some noise.
Ugh.
And then actually, like, you know what happened the last time the Packers snuck in to the playoffs when Aaron Rodgers threw 10 plus interceptions or whatever it is.
They won the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl. Like, they're worse this year. So I don't think the ceiling's quite that high.
No. So let's be.
I just have this feeling.
Yeah, I get it. You want to slay the dragon. You don't want to give them any hope. Here's the thing. Here's the saving grace. I don't think 9 wins is going to get in the NFC playoffs.
Because what are they right now? 6-8?
They're 6-8. They can't get more than 9. And the math isn't going to add up for them.
Yeah.
So I think anybody been
better off if that Washington Giants game a couple weeks ago was a Giants win.
That
would have helped everybody out.
Exactly. Because, and remember, the Giants, Washington, the Giants, the C-words, and the Lions all currently own the tiebreaker over Green Bay.
Oh yeah. I'm not saying it's
like, I get what you're saying.
It's more of a hypothetical, like everything's gonna fall into place.
Yeah,
these teams are going to lose out.
They would need dumb stuff. There's
going to be a tie that has to happen for the Packers to make the play. Like, shit's just going to happen.
If after all of this, could you imagine if after all of this, Brady and Rodgers play for the NFC title again?
That,
could you fucking imagine? There's no way. There's no way. But I'm just saying, I'd be pissed. Be like, really, these two terrible, and they're terrible teams. Whoever wins is going to lose by 60 to the Bills, Chiefs, or Bengals in the Super Bowl. Like, we know that's going to happen.
And here's the other thing. Let's say, you know, Hurts isn't going to be out long. I know that. But just imagine, like, Brock Purdy, Gardner Minshew, NFC Championship. Like, it's kind of like the Carson Wentz thing a few years ago. Nick Foles comes.
That's what I thought about.
Takes him to the promised land. Like,
so I know he, yeah.
Wild. Brock Purdy, Gardner Minshew, NFC Championship.
I'm glad that Jalen's not out that long, because that's the first thing I thought of. Like, dude's going to pop. He shouldn't win MVP. It should be Patrick Mahomes. Do you think, are you with me on that? Do you have a dog in the fight there?
Before this week, I was actually kind of leaning Hurts because of a couple things. I think it's hard. I think that one of the things that Mahomes would have going against him in this scenario is they're not the one seed. And there's a chance they could even be the 3 seed. And if it's a tie and a team only has one loss on the season and they're the one seed and you're both playing lights freaking out, like, I could
probably
see
team with more wins
situation. All right. Hurts. They're getting the job done.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing a better job of blowing teams out most weeks and things like that. But again, that's not all driven by just the quarterback, but
I get what you're saying.
If Hurts misses more than 1 week or whatever, it'll be hard, I think, for Hurts to stay in the race. And even if he's not hurt, they could be in a position where he doesn't hardly have to play the last 2 weeks, where Mahomes, they're pretty much going to have to, they're going to play to the end because the Bills and
they're trying to get the one seed.
Everybody's still trying to fight for that one seed. So, if it was a scenario where he was healthy and didn't need to play for 2 weeks, or I don't think you sit him for 2 weeks, but you know, maybe a week and half of the second to last game.
Yeah.
But He's been special as hell this year, that's for sure.
He has been. I mean, he's definitely an all-pro. Mahomes and Hurts are the all-pro quarterbacks this year, which means a lot. I just think the MVP should be Mahomes, and I don't think people that think Hurts should be the MVP are wrong. I don't. I get it. Because, I mean, they could tie the wins record this year with 16.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're the quarterback of that, that's special, you know?
Yeah.
I think Mahomes.
I definitely disagree with people saying Allen is MVP right now.
No, Allen's been bad for 2 months.
Some games, you know, when he's dinged up a few weeks ago and things like that. And he's thrown so many interceptions, which I think also kind of hurts Mahomes. He's thrown a lot more interceptions this year than he's accustomed to, where Hurt hasn't. Although this week he did throw a couple, but he's up to 5, I think.
My thing with picks is, like, I don't mind them as long as they're not, like, backbreaking. Like, look how many Allens are, like, in the red zone this year.
Yeah.
We threw a bunch of red zone picks. You know, that's not good. He even had another fumble where he gave the Dolphins a short field in the fourth quarter on Saturday. Imagine if we would have turned that into a fucking touchdown. Oh, God.
Yeah.
It would have been so Dolphins if they have two dumb performances and then that's the game they would have won. I was like, oh, okay, we're going to win this. And then they didn't.
Okay. No shit. Like, I didn't even feel bad about losing that game because they played well finally.
I was just mad the defense screwed it up.
Yeah. I still can't get over that Chargers game and how pathetic they looked on national television.
Yeah, I'm glad
it, it was still a winnable game, and they still looked like shit.
Yeah,
and like, if they were just a little more competent in any way, whether Tua completes more than 10 passes or goes into the fourth quarter with more than like 3 completions, or they actually run the ball a little bit, or
if they made adjustments at all,
you know, anything coaching, like that game was just so frustrating.
That game was 3 hours. Glad
last week was much better and, you know, a winnable game that, you know, you don't throw that stupid pass interference or, you know, maybe Miami catches a break that they didn't get to and whatever.
Maybe Bills fans don't throw snowballs.
Yeah.
Where we dropped two touchdowns instead of settling for a field goal. Yeah. No, like, yeah, the Chargers game was just so dumb because it was 3 hours of watching Mike McDaniel try to fit the world's largest square peg into the world's tiniest round hole, and he kept failing.
There's no question Mahomes is the greatest quarterback on planet Earth. I have no problem saying that.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're the 3 seed.
Yeah.
I think it makes a difference.
No, but, you're.
Yeah. We'll definitely see how the last 3 weeks go, because if he misses some time, I think that disqualifies him when you've got an equally impressive or more impressive candidate on the other side. But
yeah,
I will say this. I think all of that Tua MVP chant and stuff is long gone.
The Tua stuff, yes, is gone. he's still a borderline Pro Bowler, but
oh yeah, yeah. Easy Pro Bowler, but
yeah. No, MVP is going to be Mahomes. The two All Pros will be Mahomes and Hurts, and they deserve it. You know, Tyreek is and always should have been more of an MVP candidate than, you know, Tyreek and Jefferson are having two of the greatest receiver seasons ever.
Yeah.
Maybe at the end of the year, they're going to have the two best because there's going to be moments for Tyreek to have some gaudy stats the last couple weeks. All right. Last pick of the Sinister Six here for me, Giants at Vikings. It's another principal play. I'm going to go Giants +3.5. Vikings, when they win, they don't blow anyone out. Coming off of the greatest comeback in NFL history. Did you watch any of that?
I was following along on my phone, but my parents didn't have NFL Network at their house. So for part of it, I was streaming on my phone when it was at the end of the fourth quarter in overtime. I did turn that on, but up until then I was not. But like, what the hell?
I had games because we had our shootout here. I think I've told you about. The Illinois versus Iowa thing was fun all day. There were 4 games I worked. By the end of the first game I was doing, that game was ending. So I turned it on my phone, so I saw the walk-off kick. Just that the fact that that's how that game happened as a whole is hilarious. But, yeah, I'm going to Giants +3.5. Good on the Giants for winning that game in Washington. It felt like they were holding on to the rope the last couple weeks. Good on them for getting a win. Look, we have on this show, we have definitely talked a lot of shit and dug a lot of graves for the New York Giants because they have struggled. But we are going to give credit where credit is due. The fact that they won that game really makes it feel like they deserve to be in the playoffs more than Washington. That was a very impressive win. I've said how the end of that game was a disaster multiple times, but regardless, a win is a win. The offense played well. The defense was good in spots, enough spots for them to get it done. And in this game, I expect them to run the ball well. They'll probably hit a dumb shot play because the Vikings defense is piss bad. It's so bad, Nick. It's so bad. So, yeah, points and covering. Close game, 3.5, too many points. Too many of them. In this game, in a game where the Vikings never win by more than 3, it seems this is like an autoplay. Do I love it? No, but it's a blind. Unless it's a team that I think is absolute ass, you know, I'm not gonna I'm going to, like, if this was the Texans getting 3.5, man, probably not. Like, I stayed away from the Colts last week, but everyone was saying do it. I was like, should I have taken the Colts +4? Like, I was like going to bed like, ugh.
Honest question. Can you imagine if the Vikings win on a touchdown in overtime and you are a +3.5 Colts better? Can you imagine?
You are suicide watch.
Like, you got the rope. Like, it's not good. I was like, the Colts have to cover this. There are people out there that are going to be hurting if this ends on a touchdown.
that'd be wild.
33-0, and then you also don't cover. Like,
I'd be pissed.
What the hell?
Yeah, man, that would be bad. That'd be funny as shit, though.
Wild.
That'd be great. Sports are so fun. Speaking of, so yeah, those are our picks. We did well today. Let's run them down. Nick, Seahawks +9.5 in Kansas City. Lions -2.5. Jags -1.5. We are both on Bears +8.5. I am on Giants 3.5 and Falcons +7.5. And then over-unders we've got. Nick, you have Commanders and Niners over 39.5. And Packers, Dolphins over 48.5. Let's go. If you root for the under in that game, you're Krampus. Yeah.
You're the Grinch.
You're a mean one.
Mr. Winkle.
You don't like scoring points. You like three and outs and fumbles. You like incomplete passes, Mr. Grinch. Yeah, why would you not root for points? Just let's... I want to watch Christian Watson, Tyreek Hill, and Jalen Waddle do a lot of cool shit, man. Hell man. Yeah. 45-42. Dolphins win on Sunday. I would be stressed.
Gotta be a win there, yeah.
Yeah. And then I have boy under 37.5 Texans-Titans, under 36.5 Broncos Rams, because America, death taxes, Broncos under. We're back with a vengeance on Christmas Day. And then Jets Jags over 37.5. Barely we're gonna get it, but we're gonna get it. All right, my man. Smells like 12-0 to me, baby.
Gonna parlay that shit and be millionaires, and we're gonna peace out. You won't see us next week. We'll be in the Cayman Islands.
Birdcage the fuck out of it. Trying to think. Next week, there's a chance that you're calling me while I'm in a hotel room next week.
Taking the show on the road, huh?
I'm going to be in Pekin doing the tournament, holiday tournament. The best day for us to record will probably be Wednesday. I will be dead tired. I don't know. We're going to have to bookmark this. We're going to see. Oh, no. Your boy's going to be exhausted.
If we've got if we're celebrating a nice Dolphins win this week, back on the right track, our picks did well. It'll be fun.
It's gonna be. We are going to be living it up a little bit here. As always, my friend. I'm sure I will say this off the air, but on the air. Have a great Christmas, my friend. Have a Merry Christmas. Have an orange and teal or aqua, whatever the fuck our color is, Christmas.
Yeah.
Enjoy the family. I'm going to enjoy my days. Do you do Christmas Eve as well, or are you just Christmas Day?
Opening presents and stuff?
Or? Yeah, I've usually just done presents on Christmas Day, but I'm going to my girlfriend's parents on Christmas Eve, and that's when they do everything. And my friend's dad, who's usually Tanner Rowe's dad, for those who know, I go to his place usually on Christmas, and it's either Christmas Eve or Christmas, so it just depends. We're going there Christmas night. My weekend is full of stuff, and it's going to be fun. Huh?
We're sticking around home. They're coming to us this weekend. We do some stuff Christmas Eve night, and then Santa comes, and we see those presents on Christmas morning.
That is fair. People with kids Christmas morning. No kids. No kids here yet. None.
Yeah. We've got the Christmas morning shenanigans.
There you go. There you go.
Yes. Merry Christmas to all.
And may your picks be decent.
Merry and bright.
Yeah. Merry. Yeah. He said, he said with a smile and in something in bright, Merry Christmas to all and may all your picks be right. Hey, zinger. But for real, thank you to all who listen to this. We will be back on Saturday morning, maybe? Question mark? At least I might be. Nick probably won't. He's a busy man. I'm not going to wake him up on Christmas Eve. I'm just a degenerate young kid who has no other things to do. So there's a chance you'll see me Saturday morning on the live show. If not, Nick, thank you as always, my man. We had fun. This was great. And Merry Christmas to you and the fam, my man.
As always, till next time.
Fins up.
Fins up.
All right, that'll do it for this. We will see you guys maybe Saturday. Who knows? Stick to the Facebook and the Twitters to get all the info on when we'll be back on again. Regardless, until then, have a Merry Christmas or whatever you celebrate, whenever you celebrate. Enjoy your day. Enjoy your weekend. It's going to be great for everybody. Enjoy your football. Gamble responsibly, all that good stuff. For Nick, I'm Joe. This has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast. As always, if you ain't got your game, you best pass the sticks. We will see you when we see you. Until then, we are out. Peace.